Spotlight.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I am Nishit Kumar, and today we'll be having a discussion on West Asia conflict and its global ripple effects. We have with us today former Ambassador Prabhu Dayal with us. Welcome, Ambassador Dayal, to the show.
Thanks for having me on your show.
So the West Asia conflict, which began on the 28th of last month, has shifted from a series of localized skirmishes and proxy battles into a full-scale regional conflagration involving direct military engagement between major powers. Mr. Dayal, the West Asian crisis is growing big by the day, and it has literally rewritten the geopolitical dynamics of the region. Your views on that, Ambassador Dayal?
Political landscape of West Asia is changing rapidly and dramatically. Now, as you mentioned, it is currently shifting from proxy wars to direct state versus state clashes. And this is coupled with a broader rebalancing of global power. Now, let me also mention that this new world order is increasingly multipolar, where regional players exercise greater autonomy, and global powers compete through investment and technology rather than just military presence. Now, the Gulf states, particularly Saudi Arabia and the UAE, are increasingly prioritizing sovereign solidarity. They're moving away from rigid US alliances towards pragmatic hedging, maintaining ties with China and Russia to balance US unilateralism. Now, in the context of this particular conflict which is going on, global influence is no longer a zero-sum game between the US and its rivals. Middle powers have now emerged as swing players or peace architects. And you will notice that in the context of this particular war, there have been voices from the middle powers which are being raised against the conflict and which are wanting to bring about peace. Now, in this context, India has transitioned from the traditional non-alignment to a policy of multi-alignment, and it maintains a special strategic partnership with Israel while simultaneously signing long-term agreements with Iran. So the entire landscape is one that we are watching very closely because it affects us in a variety of ways.
Absolutely, Ambassador Dayal. This is a follow-up question. The war, which initially began with Israel-Iran, has spread wider, with most of the Arab world coming in its fold. Now, the relentlessness of the attacks from both ends seem to have only escalated as of now. Even today, this morning, we saw something very drastic happening. How do you see this?
The escalation and the widening of the conflict is indeed worrisome, and it is causing a major global energy crisis, as also a very severe economic contraction in this West Asian region. I think that the primary transmission mechanism for all these changes, these repercussions, is the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which is where roughly 20% of global oil and 20% of LNG transit. So it's a very important transit point. And the conflict has caused immediate and deep damage to the economies of the GCC countries, as also Iran. So while on the one hand we see soaring oil prices, on the other hand we see how the Gulf exporters are becoming net losers because they're not able to ship their products because of the Strait of Hormuz being closed. So, in effect, all LNG exports have been halted, and there doesn't seem to be any easy way out. Moreover, you know, for instance, in places like Kuwait and UAE, oil production has dropped by millions of barrels a day as storage tanks are filled, but there is no export outlet. And these strikes have targeted not only military sites, but also critical infrastructure. And this infrastructure includes also the desalination plants, which have been very badly affected. I mean, mentioned that from the reports that I have seen, desalination facilities in Bahrain, Kuwait, and the UAE have been struck, threatening water security for about 38 million people. So this is a very serious development. And then, of course, there has been an effect on airports and ports. Major hubs like the Dubai International Airport and the Jebel Ali Port have faced disruptions or damage, and these have paralyzed regional logistics. So I would say that there are global economic ramifications on account of all this. The war has created a structural shock for the world, and this is characterized by stagflation risks, rising prices combined with slowing growth. Now, I think that the energy supply shock is the most serious aspect. Brent crude prices have spiked from about $70 a barrel to over $110 per barrel within days of the war starting. And all this is causing a lot of concern to every country in the world.
Now, Ambassador Dayal, we were talking about the Strait of Hormuz being closed and also the other supply link chain disruptions and all. Now, we know that almost 50% or more than that of the energy traffic passes through it. Now, this is unprecedented. Now, India, of course, as we mentioned earlier, being a major importer of crude, the supply chain concern is very much worrying. How does India stack up in the given scheme of things?
Well, as you mentioned, India imports about 85% of its oil. And of its imports, roughly 50% come through the Strait of Hormuz from the GCC countries. And earlier, they used to also come from Iran. Now, while India is seeking alternative sources from Russia and West Africa, a prolonged shutdown will place severe pressure on India. And naturally, this would end up widening our current account deficit. So it's a matter of great concern for us. We are, of course, trying to increase our sources of imports and trying to ensure that stability is maintained in terms of the supplies to the consumer. But it can never be understated. The situation is extremely serious, and we are going to be under a lot of pressure for meeting our requirements.
Now let's listen in to Randhir Jaiswal, Additional Secretary, Ministry of External Affairs, who briefed the media on the recent developments in the West Asia region. This is what he said.
Since the outbreak of this conflict, besides calling for de-escalation and addressing all issues through dialogue, India has also continuously emphasized that one of its priorities has been the need to ensure unimpeded transit of goods and energy. We have also called for avoidance of targeting civilian infrastructure, including energy infrastructure across the region. We believe that these are the priorities of a large part of the global community, since the impact of the conflict is being felt globally. As you would be aware, we are dealing with a very complex situation concerning an active conflict zone. Nevertheless, we have remained in touch with all important interlocutors, including all the Gulf Cooperation Council members, Iran, the US, and Israel, at various political and diplomatic levels, in an effort to take up with them and underline our priorities, especially concerning our energy security.
Now, Ambassador Dayal, we all know that India, besides the crude issue, energy issue, has other economic interests as well in the region, be it the Chabahar port project, India Middle East economic corridor, and of course, commerce. Now, how do you think shaping up in the coming days?
Well, I see this ongoing conflict between the US and Israel on one side and Iran on the other as something that will trigger significant global and regional economic disruptions and will cause severe implications for energy markets, causing inflation and affecting trade routes. Now, the conflict has particularly affected India due to its heavy reliance on Gulf oil imports. As we discussed, about 20% of the global oil passes through this route, and this has impacted oil prices. Brent crude is now breaching about $120 per barrel, according to media reports that I see. And India is naturally vulnerable to this conflict, as we import a very huge percentage, between 85-90% of our crude oil, and over about 50% of our gas requirements. And a significant portion of these imports pass through the Strait of Hormuz. So I think that these oil price increases are going to impact our economy, and we should be prepared to handle the situation. You know, in a situation like this, it's important that the country stands together. This crisis has not been created by anyone in India. It is an external crisis, but is impacting us. And there are going to be a number of other sort of impacts on Indians. For instance, there are about 9 million Indians in the Gulf. And a prolonged war threatens their safety, their welfare. And of course, the remittances which they sent to India, which were about 51.5 billion in the last financial year. Now, these are going to be impacted, and these are very important for India's foreign exchange reserves. So if the conflict lasts beyond a couple of months, it will have a very big long-term impact on the economy. And as I said, it's important that people should stand together and try and withstand the pressure and come out of this situation, because this crisis is not of our making, but we are being impacted by it. So I think that it's important that we figure out a policy of fighting this situation and withering this storm.
Right, Ambassador Dayal, even as we speak about it, discuss about it, the latest that we hear is the attack on Kharg Island by the U.S., which is a critical oil export hub for Iran. Now, the war seems to get more and more strategic, with both sides hitting the other where it hurts the most. Now, where do you see the war going here on?
Of course, if you recall, there had been very serious attacks on Iran in June last year. And these had damaged its military capabilities to some extent. But nonetheless, Iran has been able to regroup, so to say, and rebuild its military capability to a considerable extent. And that is something that has surprised the Americans. It has been able to launch missiles and drones on Israel and on other countries, including the Gulf Arab countries, because I think the Iranians have decided to widen the war, because I think they feel that if they are going to have the impact of the war on themselves, they must try and make sure that the region is shaken up, because then there would be a pressure from the Gulf Arab states on America to end this war. So while certainly there is no doubt that the Americans and the Israelis are militarily much, much stronger than Iran, nonetheless, Iran's capacity to withstand the pressure and to fight back is quite evident. So I don't think that the war will be coming to an end anytime soon. I think we have to be prepared to face the consequences of this ongoing war and at the same time devise strategies which would be somehow to our benefit, in the sense that they will enable us to go through this very difficult phase in the best manner possible.
Yeah, Ambassador Dayal, even as you foresee the war not ending anytime soon and conflagration keep on happening and growing by the day. So there is this very ominous kind of scenario which can unfold really, you know, in the coming days. There is this perceptible nuclear threat angle as well, which might come in the war. Now, how do you see this happening or unfolding, if at all?
What the United States has been saying is that the primary objective of its strikes, as also those of Israel on Iranian targets, has been to destroy Iran's nuclear capabilities. But nonetheless, the risk of the war going nuclear remains a critical concern. In fact, there are suggestions that despite continued conventional bombardment, Iran may have succeeded in even weaponization as a final deterrent, because if its back is to the wall, it would try its best to get a weapon which may help it to accelerate in its own fashion this ongoing conflict. You know, if its back is to the wall, then it would try to find a way out. And there are experts in the Western countries who fear that the crisis may have ended up, in fact, pushing Iran to speed up its weaponization program. But nonetheless, the overall scenario is one which causes concern, because nuclear conflict is now more likely than it ever has been in the past.
Absolutely, Ambassador Dayal, even as you say that, that's very concerning. And indeed, the world has to take note of that. On that note, Ambassador Dayal, thank you very much for having joined us and shared your views on the topic. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app News on AIR and our YouTube channel News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.